Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Time I mon iarracht I aon of chacht ar a chur, agus suilgam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhéadach ara I gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gináim go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthchar san I lis dúthail agus gimine fnacht gór a chlig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhín ann dár dárach sin, bhín marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Hello and you're welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler. Now, how does OpenAI's new text-to-video system, Sora, work? Where does it get its content from? What industries might it kill? And how will we protect ourselves from a whole new level of disinformation? JJ Clark is sitting here with me. JJ, have you seen some of the sample videos from Sora?
Yes, so I've seen the video of the stylish woman walking through the Tokyo streets. I've seen the cat moving around. I've seen the monkey playing chess in the park. Very, very realistic, but sort of scarily realistic, but it has that sort of AI movement feel to it.
Okay, well, look, let me, I would disagree with you there. I think it's actually more realistic and you'd want to be very, very perceptive and very used to spotting AI videos to notice the difference. Let me read you the paragraph, because this is a text-to-video AI system. You input text, a paragraph, a few lines, and you get this ultra-realistic video. Here's the text prompt for that video of the woman walking through Tokyo. The prompt is, a stylish woman walks down a Tokyo street filled with warm, glowing, neon and animated city signage. She wears a black leather jacket, a long red dress and black boots and carries a black purse. She wears sunglasses and red lipstick. She walks confidently and casually. The street is damp and reflective, creating a mirror effect of the colourful lights. Many pedestrians walk about. Now, for anyone listening to this, if you have seen one of the Sora videos, you probably have seen this one. And I'm sorry, this is astonishing. I mean, it's not just good. It's absolutely astonishing what they've done with this. The realism here, if you were to really pixel peep to your point on that video, and you were to focus on her feet, you might see at one or two points her seeming to glide slightly along the street instead of stepping heavily. But my God, yeah, apart from that.
I mean, it's incredibly impressive. Like, even with the videos they have on their website, they have a flock of paper planes moving through a forest or a jungle scape. It's amazing. There was two kind of main players in this space before. There was Pika and there was Stable Video Diffusion, but they're being blown out of the water by
OpenAI. To be honest, there were a few, but this is a different level. Here's the prompt for the cat one, okay? Because this is the one I got most reaction to. Prompt. A cat waking up its sleeping owner demanding breakfast. The owner tries to ignore the cat, but the cat tries new tactics. And finally, the owner pulls out a secret stash of treats from under the pillow to hold the cat off a little longer. Now, if you look at this video, it's mind-blowing. And this is going to kill a lot of industries. If you are in the stock footage industry, stock video footage, you have just seen this and you're either looking for another job or you're having sleepless nights, because there is no way that forget about 5 years, no way in 18 months that you're going to be paying for, you know, generic grandmother at birthday party blowing out candles. You know, if you're home instead senior care, Okay, if you're one of those guys and you're looking for video footage, you can literally input the prompts here.
Yeah, and I think the job losses are an area where I suppose there's been a lot of attention for it. Mm. But it's for me, it's still in that kind of uncanny valley, you know, pixel peeping, as you say. But yeah. But it's very impressive, and you won't pick it up if you're in a rush or if it's on a YouTube video when they're talking about traveling through the desert in a Jeep, and that's you know, created by AI Sora. You won't be able to tell the difference.
No, I mean, or if you're making a low budget film and you don't have the budget to, you're talking about that time, you know, in 1987 when, you know, you met in the Sahara Desert or you met in Tokyo or you met somewhere else, and you can just input a well-constructed paragraph to recreate up to 60 seconds of that footage. Forget about, you know, going to another country. Forget about going to Iceland or Canada or Northern Ireland or wherever they usually film these things.
Yeah.
You're getting right into that. Now, look, there's so many questions that this brings up, okay? The one that a lot of people have focused on is the power of disinformation and how do we know what we see? And we've almost sort of already touched on that in our earlier exchange in terms of, you know, can you believe what you're seeing here, or would it have the power to disrupt? Like, bear in mind that there are over 50 elections around the world this year, including the US, including the UK.
And our own referendum.
Can you imagine during the Dublin riots, if this had been around and someone was able to put in a careful prompt to say, manifest an explosion going off on O'Connell Street? Now, that's actually a bad example because the Lewis was on fire on O'Connell Street. But you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, no. I suppose you're edging the lit match closer to the, you know, firework that is, you know, the powder keg of, you know, there being civil strife. Mm. If you have the right prompt and you're a bad actor, this is bad news, and it's very concerning in a way, because you ask yourself, what would motivate a civil-minded person to go out and riot, or what would be so distressing? And well, you can put that into video.
So that's the wrong question in this sense, in the sense that what would motivate a civil person, a civilized person, the people who cause the trouble in any society? There's never been a society where you don't have, you know, a certain amount of people who are angry or who are destructive, or as Alfred in Batman says, you just want to watch the world burn when he's talking about Bane.
Correct, but you legislate for the middle. You don't legislate for the poles of society.
That's right. Now, so in anticipation of that, I'm sure there were long meetings in OpenAI, which, by the way, has a Dublin office. And by the way, that Dublin office is almost solely focused on regulatory, data privacy, legal issues, because it is in Europe where OpenAI is going to run into the most scrutiny and potentially difficulties on this. But in advance of all of that, OpenAI have said, well, look, we do have a few framework rules here. It's not going to be allowed to be used for things like extreme violence. It's not going to be allowed to mimic celebrities or politicians. It's not going to be used for sexual content, which is, that's a whole industry.
Yeah, pornography, you know, that's coming down the line anyway.
It is coming down the line, but they're putting in these guardrails themselves. They're also releasing a tool that will tell you when a video was generated by Sora itself. And there are small little watermarks that you can see in the corner. Now, they're not very visible.
But are there workarounds? Like, for instance, ChatGPT, when you get it to write it, you know, a specific paragraph, then you can train it to avoid detection. You could just take off the disclaimer piece. There surely will be a way around this.
So, yeah, and you could, at a basic level, there is a watermark on Sora videos, and you could simply just crop in to get rid of that watermark. That's one way of doing it. Now, the issue of the one of the other big issues is, how on earth is it, you know, getting its content and its data to train its systems on? Because the videos that I mentioned, the one of the cat waking its owner up, the one of the woman walking through Tokyo, That is data. That is footage that is a composite, a very high, very sophisticated composite of an awful lot of other videos that OpenAI has trained its systems on. Now, right. The big question at the moment, and the one which involves most lawyers, is what is that content? Where is it from? Who owns that content? Like, is that you and me posting videos on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube?
And like a square pixel of like the skin on her face was used in the tapestry that is the AI image. That's worrying, but... Is it
RTE? Is it the Irish Independent?
Is it a patch of grass, you know, that you filmed one time and they used that for the green of someone's eyes? You don't know, but like, is it... Didn't they say that it's open source, but it's also publicly available images as well?
Yeah, two sources. They say this generic term of publicly available content. And then secondly, licensed material from... bodies that allow their content to be licensed.
Is that the digital commons, the publicly?
I would have to imagine it's something like that. So we've had that idea for 20, 30 years that you have that system in place. But it's very imperfect. And the reason we know it's imperfect is there is already a long line of lawsuits against OpenAI, mostly around ChatGPT, it has to be said. So the New York Times is suing based on not just... not just its articles being used as a sort of a crude bed for ChatGPT, but also for actual direct paragraphs, which essentially turned up in ChatGPT prompts. So that's quite a clear case. But others, like the comedian Sarah Silverman, for example, US comedian, authors like Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin, Jonathan Franzen, Michael Connelly, suing ChatGPT over what they believe is OpenAI's systems training on their data. Like, for example, you can say into ChatGPT, you can ask it in a prompt, write me a paragraph in the style of Jonathan Franzen, and it will give you a fairly good representation of that. And Jonathan Franzen is arguing, well, that's not allowed. Getty, a big image company, they're suing ChatGPT at the moment. And I think what they're all hoping for is that this ends up in a licensing system, maybe along the same lines as, you know, if you run a restaurant or a bar or a radio station and you play content, you play music, you are actually required to pay a copyright fee somewhere down the line.
Right. But for example, is the technology, the open Sora AI, is it working not just on the image itself, but it's using the information from ChatGPT that's gleaned from ChatGPT as well? So it informs the sort of the background. So it would say, for instance, in a gold rush town in California, like is depicted on their website in the 1800s, that you know, there would be people in a certain type of clothing, and that's informed by the information of the ChatGPT, and then that's put into visual form. Is that how it works?
Well, the images and the videos, just to preface this by saying that OpenAI, again, are very, very, you know, stingy in terms of what they will say about where they get their information. But the images and the video themselves, they have to come from other images and video. Now, it goes without saying that ChatGPT and the systems underlying that are adjacent to that video composite process. So they are going to work with each other at some point, yes. But the video and the photos are mainly trained, as far as we know, and according to OpenAI, on other videos.
And this technology, other than being cool and saving sort of video production editors a load of work, what good? Like, what good is it doing for humanity? Granted, you know, ChatGPT had some applications in terms of it has answers to questions, you know, viable and non-viable. But creation?
Well, now hang on. So, well, if you wanted to take, because our natural reaction to this is to look at the potential harm it could do, and it could, and the industries it could knock out. But if you look at the potential applications, the creative applications are absolutely massive for this. So you're talking about, once again, You're talking about a system that can take a paragraph of text that you give it, and you can vary that text in any way and create something, a video from that. Now, it is patently obvious that there are a zillion creative possibilities for that. Maybe you want to make a music video to maybe like we're in the post Billie Eilish music production era now. You can make a song that will do well in your own bedroom with tools that are free or next to free. Maybe you can now also make a music video to go with that. And maybe, you know, maybe the barriers to creative production in video are now going to zero.
And I mean, that's, I suppose it might be a...
Where the key differentiator is just your imagination. So
right.
It's not that, well, I have this great idea, but I don't have a budget for these video cameras and this editing software, which I must pay Adobe for, and I must have these Sony cameras, and I must have somebody who is trained how to use them. They themselves might not be creative, but they are required to, like, almost like machinists to use them. Now
right.
That's all cut out. Now it's just you and the pure imagination.
Yes, like as in it's a 3D printer for your mind that you can just put in, okay.
Except it will work because 3D printing.
I suppose it's a philosophical question in do the harms outweigh the goods? And when you're talking about like election disruption, that's scary to me. And it's a bias that we have when we talk about technology, that we're all about the fears first of all, and, you know, the potential downsides, but they are viable. You know, as in, when we look at the applications for this, it's definitely worrying, and you can see it taking place in the US with these robocalls.
Yeah, so we had an example of that with Joe Biden, for example, and during the primaries, we heard robocalls that were not Joe Biden, and that was AI. In fact, and it was unbelievably realistic, very, very realistic. So the template is set. Now, it's worth noting that a couple of the biggest tech giants this week at the Munich Security Conference, so Amazon, Google, IBM, Meta, Microsoft, and OpenAI, have all signed this pledge to, quote, step up efforts to stop AI disrupting elections, unquote. Unsurprisingly, there are no specifics with that. But we do know also that the Irish Data Protection Commission, which has two new commissioners starting this week, one of them, Dale Sunderland, specifically referenced OpenAI and AI systems as an area that they would be keeping an eye on this year. We know the Commission of Man, which oversees video systems for a good chunk of Europe, will probably be doing the same. So they're the safeguards that we're supposed to have against disinformation and misinformation. But they won't be able to do that in real time. If we're in a scenario where it's 24 hours before a referendum in Ireland and someone puts out a disinformation video purporting to show, say, you know, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying something fairly outrageous or provocative or something that would incense one side of the referendum proponents or opponents, then it's going to be very, very difficult to deal with that in real time.
And just muzzling the sort of negative effects of this technology, that kind of, we're pledging to step up our efforts to, you know, stop this disruptive use of this technology. Is that soft language on purpose?
Of course it is. They don't want to be shackled in any way. The tech companies, this is the number one area of investment in tech at the moment, is getting more billions than any other area in technology. And it goes alongside the semiconductor industry. I mean, Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, has spoken potentially of $7 trillion that he'd like to get his hands on to develop essentially chips specifically for
GPUs.
AI. So this is where all the money is going at the moment. So they do not want to have specifics on them. So of course...
And will he secure that investment?
He won't get $7 trillion. I don't think... $7 trillion is about the size, I think, it's around about the size of the US GDP. He's right. not going to get that in
I actually
in
heard someone estimate the amount he would actually need, and it's more like 2 trillion. So like that it was a, you know, an overestimation. Maybe he's just...
Yeah, well, the thing about semiconductors, chip plants, is they take a long time to spin up. From the time you start building one or announce one, it usually takes about 5 years. That's why in leak slip, Intel will always announce a new fab, new fabrication plant, and it's not built for 3 or 4 years. They take a minimum of 3 or 4 years. They take a long time and take a lot of money, take machinery, which is, you know, you can barely buy. I had a tour of the new Intel fab a couple of months back, and they showcased a bunch of machines built in the Netherlands, and I think they cost 100 million each per machine, and they had a whole row of them.
And the point of this investment of the 7 trillion, this impossible number, is that the current version of OpenAI Sora is the worst version, according to Altman, that you'll ever see, and that it's going to get progressively better. This is kind of frightening, because you'll have no, as the human eye will just have no recourse when it comes to what am I looking at? How do I know it's real? If it's the same applied to audio, like how do we discern?
I actually think there's another industry potentially in creating products and services on that basis. I think what's going to happen is in a few years' time, you will have tools, you'll have apps, you'll have filters that will be able to tell you whether something is real or not. I actually think it might even be mandated. So when bodies like Commission a Man and the European Commission really get up to speed on this, I think there are going to be very, very strict rules. There could even be liability attached, not just to people who use this technology, but maybe reaching, you know, as far into the system as OpenAI itself, in terms of its own responsibility of meeting a very strict set of safeguards in terms of how the technology is being used. It's worth mentioning that OpenAI is not allowing normal people, you and me, to use Sora right now. It's only allowing a tiny bunch of, you know, approved testers use it, because it knows very, very well the power for misuse here. But like, you know, to your point, you're absolutely right. In a couple of years' time, we're kind of entering an era now where it's just going to be so difficult to tell whether something is fabricated or not. I do think it will put a real premium, though, on very earthy, imperfect type footage, though. We're already seeing that in social media. Like, there's arguably more, if you look at the influencers,
right, warts
who get
and
paid
all.
The most. Yeah, warts and all, weird lighting, sitting in a car with an imperfect angle or an unflattering angle, all that sort of stuff. That is seen as more authentic and therefore more interesting than a perfectly lit studio with somebody, you know, sitting there with makeup on. And I think maybe that's where we're heading. That's a good sign for where we're heading.
Yeah, and I'm just interested in the, I suppose, the DPC's role here, because Helen Dixon stepping down soon.
Well, this week, Monday was her last day.
And
she starts, by the way, in the Comreg Telecoms Commissioners the very next day on Tuesday.
So she was famous for handing out fines to the likes of Meta. And so the idea there was that they're platforms, but they're allowing certain things to take place on their platforms, ergo the fine. Could we see a future in which OpenAI, their technology, was used or utilized in some bad action, therefore they get a fine? Could you see that?
From the DPC, I'm not sure, because that's data protection. So if it was the case, yes, that OpenAI was hoovering up information and data that was personal data and did not get the right consent for it. And this is separate to the copyright process, separate from the lawsuits I mentioned earlier with the New York Times and Sarah Silverman and Getty. If it was hoovering up our data, and if that was demonstrably proved, if there's an investigation into OpenAI on that basis, then yes, I could see potentially a very, very hefty fine. And don't forget, in the case of fines, the Irish Data Protection Commission actually is fairly moderate when it actually imposes fines. It has almost always been on review by other data protection authorities that the fine has gone from, say, 100 million up to 1 billion. that's what happened here with the 1.2 billion euro fine on Meta. So I would suspect that core European sensibilities and sensitivities on this will be a lot more strict than, you know, the closer you get to America, maybe the less paranoid or enraged or strict they'll be. I suspect when the Germans and the French really get their claws into this, yeah, you could well see a big fine. Anyway, we best leave it there. I'm sure we'll be coming back to Sora and OpenAI pretty soon. Roy Bones was on sound and JJ Clark produced this episode. JJ, who was talking with me just now. This is Adrian Weckler and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.